Up on caffeine, standing at the top of the world, looking down on you.
That's my new intro I'm giving myself. This is Johnny, I'm your host, and I am not at the top of the world looking down on you. Let me ask you a question. How are you listening to this podcast? Do you listen to it from the website, from the Podbean website? Do you download them from the Podbean website? Did you know that this podcast is available on iTunes and you can subscribe? So when you turn on your iTunes and you have there's a new one that comes out, it automatically goes into your podcast because you have subscribed. Sorry, I cannot talk. There's a tongue that's too big in my mouth. Also, we're available on Stitcher, which you can listen to like directly from your phone, which I do. You know, I subscribe to Stitcher and I listen to it. I subscribe to my own podcast on Stitcher. I know that's weird. I don't. I mean, sometimes I hear them on there. I'm into it. I just wanted to know how you do it and tell you the different ways that that you can hear on the podcast. Anyway, my guest today is Tamika Jones. She is a singer. She's a jazz singer, but maybe not a jazz singer. She's definitely not a neo-soul singer, as she let me know. She's not into neo-soul, which I still don't really know what it is. If you know what neo-soul is, send us an email or write in the comment section or like us on Facebook. Be sure you like us on Facebook. So anyway, you can write it on there. So, coined the Tina Turner of jazz because of her long legs, fierce hair, and aggressive vocal stylings, Tamika Jones is a rare creature in Austin, Texas, a musician actually born and raised in the musical city. Since embarking on her mission to play jazz that hits your hips as well as your head in 2008, she's taken the local jazz scene by storm with a potpourri of jazz, blues, rock, and soul. So, she does a lot of different kinds of songs. She doesn't do necessarily jazz songs all the time. She was nervous to talk to me, or to talk in general, not just to talk to me like I'm some kind of, somebody like Nightline or something, or Lester Holt. Anyway, so she was a little nervous, but we ended up having a crazy conversation. I was over-caffeinated and still am. And so anyway, this is my conversation with Tamika Jones. Enjoy it. Song originally sounds completely different than that. I think yeah. You might want to scoot up on that mic.
Oh, get up on it.
What made you choose that song? How did you hear it? How did it come into your consciousness?
I heard it from the movie Donnie Darko.
Yeah,
one of my favorite movies. It was done by Gary Jules. It was uh-huh. It was all haunting, but I wanted to make it sexy and kind of soulful. It's always been one of my favorites. So when I had the chance to record it, I jumped on it.
Right. And How did you get the chance to record it? Like, what, did you come from a list of songs? Do you write songs?
I'm in the process of writing right now. I had an original band a couple of years ago.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I'm just gonna move your mic a little bit. You had an original band a couple years ago?
Right. It was like a neo soul band called 8 Million Stories, and I wrote all the lyrics and the melodies for it. But when we broke up, it kind of constipated me. I didn't realize how much I needed to have a band around me to write chord changes and just write the music.
Right. Because so you don't play any instruments?
No, I have no musical knowledge whatsoever. So when I tried to write original songs,
yeah,
it was like pulling teeth. It was very. I have crumbs of like hundreds of songs because I start a song, but I can't ever finish it. Yeah, where it's going because I don't know chord changes or anything, and it sucks.
So you just kind of like walk around and sing. And so when you have an idea, you get with someone and you kind of sing it to them, and they. You have a musical.
Well, that's the thing about being in that band. I felt like I didn't have creative control, and that kind of scarred me a little bit from working with other people because I want to develop my own sound and my own style. So,
right, but without the knowledge of an instrument or something like that, it's hard to go.
Very hard. So I turned to GarageBand, and that's been a little easier for me to get. Yeah, to get my ideas out because it's all loops and drums and everything's there for you to build, but it's still very, very arduous.
Yeah.
Because
it involves. Do you find yourself like singing bass lines or anything like that? Or
yeah, sometimes I do, but I can't ever. It's like lost in translation. Because I can't get it out in my hands. Because in GarageBand you have like.
Oh, I thought you meant the movie. I was like. I was just like, wow, what part of the movie? You're trying to leave your photographer husband or something? What's going on? Sorry. So it's lost between your head and your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you have any, you don't have any musical training?
No, none at all.
The fuck are you doing on my show? Joking. I'm sorry, I'm feisty today.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's something that's internal. Do you ever dream of songs?
Yeah.
It's crazy because you have everything you need is in there locked up somewhere.
Yeah.
But you can't ever get it out. Every time I dream of this awesome song,
yeah,
that if I could get it out, I'd have millions of dollars and be in a mansion somewhere because it's just perfect. But whenever I wake up, it just evaporates.
Because
I'm narcoleptic. So narcoleptics have very vivid lifelike dreams. And having these through composed songs in my dreams, it's one of the symptoms of my musical narcolepsy. I don't know if that made any sense.
Wow. So, I mean, you're narcoleptic and you drove here from New Braunfels. I mean, does coffee help you from narcolepting out? Or what is it called? Having a narcoleptic fit? Is that a fit?
It's an episode. Narcoleptic episode. All right, love. Yes. I take stimulants to keep myself functional, but it's hard.
What are you, like on coke or something?
Like regulated coke, like dextroamphetamine.
Okay. This is the first episode ever. Someone's chopping up lines on my Billy Squier CD.
This is my medicine.
Yeah. So you're narcoleptic.
Uh-huh.
You don't play any instruments.
No, I don't. I just play my larynx.
Yeah. And you're amazing at it. Like, you have an amazingly beautiful voice, amazing delivery, amazing phrasing.
Thank you.
Do people tell you that?
They do. At first, I didn't understand what people meant by, oh, you have amazing tone. This is...
Yeah, you have amazing tone, too.
I'm like, what's that? Like, thank you.
Yeah.
So I've slowly learned the lingo over the years.
How many years have you been doing this? First of all, hold on. This is Tamika Jones. She's a singer.
Oh, hey.
She's at my apartment. And she likes the art.
It's gorgeous.
Which is done mostly by my girlfriend, Jessie.
Breathtaking.
Of course, that one is Dude Killing a Snake. It's done by my young friend, Mikey, who's my best friend in the whole world.
The orange one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
His mom and him told me that his dad was getting a snake, and I hate snakes, so I told Mikey to kill it as soon as he had a chance, and Mikey drew a picture of himself choking the snake to death.
It was a pet snake that he was getting.
It wasn't his snake. It's his dad's snake, which I think is dangerous. You have kids, right?
I do.
Would you get a snake?
No.
You have two kids, right?
You have
twins.
Yeah, they're a boy and a girl, and they're 10.
Wow.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just love them to death.
Do they like your music? Do they?
They do.
Do
actually,
they listen to it? Do they like play it for their friends? Oh, my mom's cool. Or
yeah.
Do they like Lady Gaga better than you?
Ew. My daughter's into Lil Wayne right now and Drake, like the rap stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But whenever my album was made, they took it to school because the teachers wanted a copy of it. And so they've been playing it in the classroom, which is, I don't know, kind of embarrassing, but also cool at the same time. I don't know. It's weird.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. And I went to their school last year. Before the summer let out, and I brought my band there, and I put on a mini concert for them, for the school, for the kids, because they needed activities, because, you know, at the end of the year, you don't have much to do with the kids.
Yeah.
And so I offered to come and give them an educational
concert.
Yeah.
Did you talk to them about what you do, too?
I don't like to talk, but my drummer did. My drummer.
Who's your drummer?
His name is Wayne Salzman. He's a drum tech.
Sounds like an attorney.
Wayne Salzman II, actually. The second. He's a drum tech professor at UT. So he's used to lecturing and giving talks.
Okay, good, yeah.
So he's telling, you know, instructing the kids on the drums and jazz and whatnot. I just look pretty and like sing. I don't know. I just have this weird anxiety about talking to people.
You do? I don't know why.
Me neither. Unless I'm in a really comfortable environment, like at the gallery.
This isn't comfortable. Look at my house.
It's totally comfortable.
It's so fucking awesome. I turn the lights down. It's a little creepy.
It's ambiance.
My girlfriend's out of town. I'm like, you know, oh, just make yourself comfortable. I'll turn off the lights. Have some more wine. It's 10 in the morning.
I mean, yeah, this reminds me of the gallery, actually, which is awesome.
Yeah.
All the awesome art.
Yeah.
So it does bring me peace.
Good. I want you to, but not too much peace. I don't want you to fall asleep here and have an episode, a narcoleptic episode on me. So you're from Austin. That's,
yes.
In your bio, it's a rarity, it says.
Yes.
You're one of the rare people that's actually born and raised here.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I was born in Miami.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's hot.
I know. It's totally hot. You know, my family's Cuban immigrants.
Really?
Yeah, the whole thing.
You're Cuban?
Unbelievable, yeah.
I know. That's even hotter.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that hot?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems hot. It was. You know when it was really hot? It was like in 1998, like when the Latin music thing took off.
Totally.
Shit, my AC's on. Hang on. We're going to have to do a pause here. Hang on. Sorry.
I guess we made it hot in here.
We did.
Talking about hot in Miami and Cuban. I was like, oh, it's still hot.
So, yeah. But you live in New Braunfels now?
I do.
It's kind of weird. Why do you live in New Braunfels?
Well, my parents
are married?
No, God, no.
You have a boyfriend?
No. My parents are there, and they help me take care of my twins.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, a built-in babysitter. So it's awesome. They've been very supportive, which I would not be able to do this without their support and help.
Yeah.
Especially with kids. But, you know.
So they really believe in your music.
Absolutely. They've seen my progress over the years.
So when did you start? How did you start? What was your...
Well, I started with my original band, then we broke up. Then
What did you hear or what did you see that made you go like, oh, that's, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. Or were you just always inherently... Is there music people in your family?
No.
Did you go see music when as a kid?
Not really. I've always been pretty musical, singing all the time. I first discovered that I could sing on a middle school talent show. I sang at some Mariah Carey song. I was all about Mariah Carey back in the day.
Oh yeah.
But I was just doing a lot of karaoke. That's how most people.
But like, what do you mean? That's actually a culture. I friends of mine had a party and there was a karaoke scene. And me and this guy's wife got up and she's a singer. I'm a singer. And we got up and sang at this karaoke thing. And there are people that on Saturdays, they went there and they karaokeed, and that was their outlet.
For, right.
You know,
right.
Really like their thing. And they
Absolutely.
Were kind of pissed off, seriously, at me and my friend's wife because they were just. I mean, they really like. I remember going up to the bar afterwards and this guy coming up and like doing the. We haven't seen you. Like I was like, no one else here has seen you on like Tuesdays over at you know, Jack's Bar, or like, you know, on Wednesdays at the Hula Hands over there, and you're like, you're like, oh, well, no, I'm not part of the scene over here. I'm just singing for my friend. It's my friend's birthday. We just got up and sang, you know.
Are you serious? Yeah, it was like the territorial kind of thing.
I mean, did you experience that? Did you ever have anyone be like, you know, what the? Because I mean, I could see you getting up and singing it and being like one of those things in a movie where, you know, like everyone's kind of like hanging in there singing. Maybe some people can sing and they sound like a mom, but then you get up and it's like a real singer singing, and everyone like stops what they're doing, and the waiter drops the food all over somebody or something. You know what I mean? Is that what happens?
No. That's hilarious. But it was an outlet for me because I crave attention. That's one of the things I love about being in this profession. Just attention. Yeah. You know, people's eyes on me. I love that. So I did this karaoke contest and I lost. And it sucked because there's a lot of money. But
how much money is involved in a karaoke contest?
It was like $500, I believe.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Really?
I was really pissed.
Do you have to sing more than once, or do you just sing once and like...
Yeah, it's like a process. You qualify and then you make semifinals and then the finals. And I bought some roses because I had this whole like show in my mind. What did I sing? I think I sang "Giving Him Something He Can Feel" by Vogue. Like, it's an old Aretha Franklin song.
Okay.
And it was all sexy, and I gave roses to everyone, and I lost. And after the show was over, some guy told
me... Wait, you gave roses to everyone in the audience, and you still lost?
I still lost. I was devastated.
Did you give them the roses because you genuinely are that nice, or were you trying to win?
No, I was trying to win. No. It was all for the show. No.
It's a good idea. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring roses and hand them out.
Yeah, HEB has some great roses. I saw HEB. It was like $12.99. So, you know, you're not out of much money if it doesn't go over well. So so after the show, some guy told me that I should get into a band or form a band. And I was like, okay. So I looked on Craigslist at the time. Was it Craigslist?
So you're young.
No.
You're not young?
No.
You just started late?
Yeah, I just started. I'm a late bloomer.
I'm trying to do this thing where you, like, my mom was real age conscious and always,
oh, really?
Like, if I ever said, like, oh, how old are you? She would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, so I
just, people ask
so
me all
I don't
the time.
Ask the actual question. I'm just like, so you're not young?
No, I'm like
33.
Because
you have kids or 10. Okay. When did you start?
Ooh. Like, professionally?
Like, no, like, I mean, when did you, how old were you when you did this karaoke thing?
Oh, man. 20. 25, 6.
25, so you've been doing this about 8 years.
Yeah, kind of.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess. Okay, so then when did you start that original band?
Like, man, I am so bad with time. 2004?
No. And so this guy, okay, so let's go to this place. The guy at the karaoke thing,
mm-hmm.
I could say, I would actually like to sit here and make this podcast just you trying to remember a date. But like for an hour, but I don't think my audience would hold on for that.
Right.
But I would think it was funny as shit. I had Tamika Jones on here. I asked her one question. She couldn't remember what year she started singing. She just sat there going, 2000. Whatever. Yeah. So this guy comes up to you, and was he of any credibility, or was he literally just a guy? What was it, a bar? Was it a restaurant? Was it at Baby A's over here on Tuesdays?
Okay, it was that place, Ritz?
Yeah, the Ritz.
The Ritz, the old Ritz. Mm-hmm. Before... It's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie place now, right?
Yeah. So you were hanging out down on 6th Street.
Yeah.
And you went to this character, and this guy tells you, you should do this professionally, or you should get a band.
Right.
And he was just a guy.
Yeah. I think he was my friend from college, actually, who was there to support me. Was it? Maybe. I don't know. But it was some guy, regardless if I knew him or not. And he told me to get a band. So I looked on Craigslist, and there's this ad.
Did you want to sing anything at that point, or what, did you have like a jazz agenda, or did you want to be like a soul singer, or did you want to?
I didn't.
You didn't care.
I didn't care.
You wanted to be on stage.
Yes, absolutely. That, I mean, I just love the rush. I love getting dressed up and getting all divified. I just.
Do you get divified? Yeah. You know what? This absolutely. Is an interesting thing because we just met, and I met you the other night at like a. Star-studded Christmas event at Antone's, where we both performed separately. You know, we were all doing Christmas songs for the ham here in Austin, and there was an electricity to you that is not here today. There's like I got the narcoleptic salad Track breakfast. Salad for breakfast, girl.
Yeah, I need
which is by no means bad. This is, you know, who you are, and this is an honest podcast. So that's what I want the real you. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. There was this. You were very excited.
Right. I just love being on stage.
Yeah,
I'm a natural performer.
There was a lot of people there. It was exciting.
It was. I had my horn section. It's exciting when you have a section of horns.
Yeah,
because that's very, very rare and expensive. Yeah. If you had to pay
it
for
it. It is expensive, yeah. Yeah, that night that you saw us with the Smokey Robinson, we had the horns, right?
Right, you did. Yeah. Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams. Yeah. I like that guy.
I was so impressed with y'all, especially,
This is good. This is when I like the podcast, when it turns into how badass I am. This is just me doing like 40 episodes of like sneaking in my own agenda
ego,
here.
Ego and boosting.
So, how badass do you think I am? So, so you opened for Smokey Robinson that night, but let's try and find some linear. So tells you, you call Craigslist or you look on Craigslist and
there's some ad for a band. I don't remember. They're
a band looking for a singer.
Right. And I auditioned at Music Lab and I got the part.
Did they have a musical identity or did
they have? Yeah. Okay. Now I remember. They're this old band called Il Camino.
Yeah.
You know Il Camino?
Of course.
Oh, snap. Well, it was their band without Angel
Ferrer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said that all sexy.
Yeah, man. I don't think he's Cuban. I think he's Puerto Rican.
Right.
Yeah. We're Latino brothers.
Oh God, that's sexy.
Ahí estamos. No. Go ahead.
That's so awesome. Yeah. So Il Camino disbanded, and the guitarist and bassist. No, it was the bassist and the drummer and some other dude. Wanted to form a soul band, like a neo soul band,
right?
From the ashes of Il Camino, and thus our band was formed, 8 Million Stories, as me as the lead singer. And
8 Million Stories.
8 Million Stories.
8 Million Stories.
Mm-hmm.
What was that in reference to?
I don't really know. Maybe that quote about 8 million stories in the city. It wasn't some like old TV show quote.
I don't know.
There was. See, if I had my phone, I can Google it, but that's okay. It's not important. But that's what I do all the time. So, yeah, we were together for like 2 years, and then we fizzled out.
What did you do in those 2 years? Did you play gigs? Did you make a record? Did you go out?
Yeah.
What did you do?
We made a record with Omar Vallejo.
Uh-huh.
And we had gigs at Lucky Lounge, sometimes Antone's. We get to San Antonio, but we didn't really have any direction.
Okay.
So we don't.
There wasn't like a leader or the person.
There was a leader. There was.
But
like,
it wasn't
the
you.
Bassist was leader. Yeah.
That has something to say. No. I'm just saying. I'm saying that like I mean, being a person that also leads things as well. There is when you don't have. There's someone else that's doing the musical directing, but you're kind of like the singer and the face of the band. Mm-hmm. Your hands are a little bit tied at that point, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so if you had an idea about direction, you could say it, but you couldn't go home and on GarageBand record a little demo and go, we should sound like this.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I was extremely green with music back then. I'm not saying I'm like Mozart now, but I know a little more than I did back then how to articulate what I hear in my head. But back then it was all them.
And would they tell you like what to do, or would they lay down the bed of music and you would sing over and everyone would just celebrate?
they would lay down the music and the chords and the feel of it, and I would take the music home and come up with melodies and lyrics to it. But I didn't really like the direction. I'm not a neo soul person.
When neo soul, what is that?
It's like,
is that like Maxwell or something? Like, what is neo soul?
Yeah.
You just cringed when I said Maxwell. Is that like a bad?
I like Maxwell, but it's too mellow for me. I don't like mellow shit. I like Led Zeppelin. I like Tina Turner. I like soul and like rock.
Yeah.
So neo soul was the music.
So be during jazz.
I know, right? That's a good point. So when we disbanded,
Just I wish this was on video because you do have very cute facial expressions when you're like, I know.
when we disbanded, someone saw us play at Lucky Lounge. He was a fan or something, and we had a dialogue, and he lived in San Francisco, and he says, you know what, I see so much in you. How about I move you and your twins up to San Francisco, and I'll help you start a career there. All bills paid. I'll pay for the plane tickets. I'll pay for the house. You can use our car. They're really nice people. It was a man and his wife.
You didn't have to sleep with them, did you?
No.
That's what I'm always like. Anytime, like anyone's ever asked me to do a house concert, I always think like, is this like secretly an orgy? Like I'm gonna get there with my guitar, and they're gonna be like, you don't need that. Just
leave that. Leave that in the trunk. I love how you whispered that. You don't need that.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't sexual by any means. Gross. But the guy turned out to be unstable. Not unstable. Like he wasn't like a harmful to my children or anything.
Well, wait, so you went?
I went. It was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I've never lived outside of Texas.
Okay.
And, I mean, shoot, I jumped on it. In San Francisco, whoo. So I visited before I left to make sure everything was cool.
Yeah.
And, I mean, before I moved to make sure everything's cool.
Right.
So I went up there, and the guy turned out to be kind of a pothead. Not a pothead in a bad way. Wait, that doesn't make sense. Okay. I mean, you know how potheads, like, smoke and they have all these ideas and, like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. But when they're sober.
Look, I have a podcast. I don't think I came up with the idea. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
But you followed through with it, though.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. And I don't think there's something wrong with him mentally.
I don't know.
Whenever he sobered up, it was like, huh? It was like.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing? That's so
funny. Who are you? there's a lady with two kids in our kitchen. She's making eggs for herself. I don't know what the hell's going on here. So he didn't have his ideas. What were his ideas when he had it? Like, was it like, oh, I'm gonna get you a deal. I'm gonna put a band together.
Absolutely.
Was he in the music industry or
he was a physical therapist. But he just had, I don't know what his story is. He had a lot of money from somewhere. I don't know if it was from physical therapy or like inheritance, but he had a lot of money.
And he never explained where it came from?
No, I didn't ask questions. I just went.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Just... Okay, you're not judging me?
No.
Okay, all right. So that was a cool experience. There's no music scene in San Francisco. I mean, there is, like, maybe for, like, techno or like, rave music, and maybe a little bit of jazz, but you couldn't develop
what
a career.
What did he see you doing? Did he see you doing neo-soul, or did he have a musical director, or did he just think you were great, let's put you in a situation that will shine a light on that?
He had delusions of grandeur. He thought he had all of these contacts, and he knew all these people, and he would... He had this
what he thought he did because he was so high, he had, like, imaginary friends. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally like that. I mean, he thought he went to plug me into the house scene as well. Like, he's like, oh yeah, we'll get Miguel Miggs. I've been like, you know who Miguel Miggs is?
No.
He's like this huge house musician guy who makes house beats.
Right.
So yeah, we'll get you with Miguel Miggs. You know, I've been in contact with Miguel. We've been back and forth, and you know, like we're gonna get you on some tracks and. I don't know. In retrospect, I should have researched a little bit
a little more. Yeah.
But it was cool.
But I mean, when you're excited about something like that, what the hell? You know, I mean, and not many, you know, it's not very often when you live in a town, you know, that's in between both of the centers of business of what we do that, you know, somebody's here and is like, you know, I've had that kind of shit happen. Like, I mean, I've had that happen so many times. I've lived here for a long time and I've played, you know, consistently for so long. Mm. That I've had so many, most recently, I will share this with you, that there was a guy that was at a show that I was playing at Saxon Pub, which I said was a bit of a joke earlier. But this guy, you know, came up to me. He had an English accent.
Really?
He wanted me to come to England.
Was it Robert Plant?
No.
Oh, I haven't tried to find him.
It wasn't that recently.
Okay, cool.
I've been trying to find him too. No, I mean, like, I want to have that portable recorder thing. I want to ask him some, like,
Well,
what would you ask him? How would I interview that guy?
I wouldn't even begin to know. I wouldn't be able to speak if I saw him.
Really?
Yeah, he's an icon to me. I worship Robert Plant. And that's, in San Francisco, actually, that's how I got into Led Zeppelin. The crazy guy wanted me to research, and he played Song Remains the Same for me. And I just lost my fucking mind. I love Led Zeppelin. I just go.
You'd never heard them before?
No. I mean, I heard songs, like, maybe in commercials, maybe, but I was like, whatever. I'd never really.
But you didn't listen to, like, classic rock radio or anything like that? You weren't, like, a, you know.
No, I was more of into pop, unfortunately.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with pop.
No, but that's very true. I'm looking down upon my musical taste.
Okay, so you go to San Francisco. This guy is not what he turns out to be. You're done with the original band.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back with your children.
Right.
And what did you do?
So I met this guy in San Francisco, and he told me, you know, when you get back to Austin, you know what you should do? You should form a jazz band while you write original material. Because I never wanted to do the cover band thing. I always wanted to do something original, but...
Don't look out. You're going to insult me in some way right here. It's coming up.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm not. See, I have to choose my words carefully.
Yeah, you better choose them.
I
will throw you out of my... I will walk out of my own podcast.
Your cover band is exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, you do it the right way. Like, seriously.
But it looks good on you. No. I bet you get a hat like that, you get a free bowl of soup. Hey, but it looks good on you.
No.
No, go ahead. I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah, I mean, cover bands kind of scared me.
Yeah,
because
they've scared me. You don't want to be the dude in the window at Maggie Mae's. I'll stop the world and walk with you, even though you could be, but you know, shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with cover bands if done correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys do it so good.
Yeah, and we're in a band with our friends, and we all like each other, and it's real fun, and we succeed financially in areas in a field that's hard.
Absolutely.
To do that. And we also have a way to fund our own original projects.
Oh, wow.
And do whatever
right.
we want, because we have our whole week free, because we don't have to have some job that, you
exactly.
know, ties up all of our time.
Right. So
I justify my own existence on my own podcast. I mean, I wouldn't be able to have this podcast if it wasn't, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, or your other band. Right.
Or
on.
All of these incredible instruments.
It's pretty impressive. Like, seriously, you have a lot of gear.
Or that giant TV. Go ahead. So you didn't want to do the cover band thing?
No.
Although, in a sense, that's...
what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right. But you're doing it in a really cool way. I mean, that's the thing is, like, look, there's like... I mean, we do songs exactly like that, like they're done. You do,
really?
You do songs with your own interpretation.
I really, you think y'all do the songs exactly? I think y'all bring the songs to life, seriously.
Right. But I'm not trying to say, what I'm trying to say is that what you do is an interpretation. And that essentially, in jazz, that's what people are doing. It's not like there's a whole lot of new standards being written. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, you're actually taking a Tears for Fears synth pop song, you mm-hmm. know, from a synthesizer and drum machine record and turning it... breathing this life into it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I first got into the jazz realm, I researched Ella and Billy and Mel Torme and all these jazz icons.
Right.
And
Mel Torme really in that era of those people? That's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
I thought, to me, the way you said it, it sounded almost like Engelbert Humperdinck. It's like, and I researched Ella, Billy, Engelbert Humperdinck. No, go ahead. Sorry.
He has a lot of cool jazz songs. He's definitely one of my favorites.
Mel Torme?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's this golden
Isn't he
voice.
The Golden Fog? Or,
yes,
right?
Golden Fog.
Yeah. How do I know
Golden
that?
Showers, Golden Fog.
Yeah.
We've been talking about lots of golden things. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Jazz is extremely hard for someone who has no musical training.
Yeah.
It brought me a lot of foundation. I mean, when I first got into it, it was hard. There was like missed notes because there's so many janky chord changes and you have to flow with that.
Yeah.
And I remember before I launched my project, I went out to see Cat Edmonton to see how it was done.
Yeah.
Like, but
She's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. But I knew that wasn't for me because it was, it's kind of soporific music. It makes me, it's like warm milk, you know? And I'm not warm milk. I'm like warm honey or something, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I'm going to warm up some milk and then I'm going to warm up some honey and I'm going to put them
blend the two.
On my
that's,
face.
That's me and Kat, warm milk and warm honey. I knew I wanted it to be funkier or have lots of soul.
Dirtier.
Yeah.
Because what Kat's doing isn't like a gritty thing.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
I wanted it to be like a Tina Turner of jazz.
Yeah. Well,
even.
So she's like a big person for you. Did you grow up on Tina Turner? Were your parents Tina Turner fans?
No. My mom barely listened to music. If she did, it was like Anita Baker or she didn't listen to music a lot, which is.
So you didn't grow up in a house where people had like your parents weren't like Earth, Wind & Fire and like Parliament Funkadelic and like the Isley Brothers and shit like that?
Absolutely not. My mom was too busy working and going to school.
What did she work at and what did she go to school for?
She went to Southwestern Bell at the time and she went to St. Edward's to further her degree. I think she got a degree in computer scientist or something. So she was working a lot, you know, as mothers do to provide for their children and to better their lives.
Your parents were divorced, so you...
No, I don't know my real co-creator. So my mom married my
step. Like how you became a sitcom. You stopped being a person. You're like a sitcom. I don't know the other co-creator.
I don't know the co-creator of the sitcom.
I know it was my mom. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Or are you that this attention thing comes from being an only child, which like it shines? I mean,
comes. I'm the youngest child, so
okay, yeah.
But I do. I have 4 brothers. I'm thinking because 3 of them are stepbrothers. Yeah, 3 stepbrothers and 1 brother. what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I remember.
I don't even know. I think I got your narcolepsy.
It's contagious. Achoo. This is fun. This is more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's no pressure. There I don't is. Know how much fun it's going to be to listen to, right? But it's fun to do, right?
It's very excruciating listening to myself, especially to speak.
I think you have a nice speaking voice. Okay, so you come back and you learn about jazz on your own?
Right. I
did you start going and hanging out at the Elephant Room?
God. I mean, no.
Or anywhere?
No. I studied for 3 months when I got back from San Francisco on the computer. I researched my set, you know, songs I thought were cool that I could put into my set. I just devoured jazz.
And did you sing them and then you like on your own, like did you go, I like this song. It says here you do like that at any given point you'll bust out into Rolling Stones, James Brown, Nirvana, the Beatles,
right,
and then also jazz standards and then obviously Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
And then you opened for Alida Adams, who sang with Tears for Fears.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever heard the record The Seeds of Love, Sowing the Seeds of Love?
Really?
You should get that record.
Is that how the song goes?
Yeah, she's not so much on that song. I think she plays it. Yeah.
That's all I know.
You insult me like on every level.
No!
Like no. Somebody needs to come in here and make me feel bad about what I really like.
No, I like Tears.
I got a perm once at that point in my... Seriously, I'm not lying because of that guy's hair.
Really?
I'm not lying. I am not lying.
You know what? I can one-up you. You know Scary Spice? I got my tongue pierced and my labrae pierced because of Scary Spice. So we all have our...
Your what?
My labrae.
Oh.
Labrae.
Okay, and you pointed to your face, but it sounded like another part of your body when you say labrae.
Right. Like,
might be some black vernacular I'm not quite in tune with yet.
Labrae. Yeah. Yeah. Because of Scary Spice. So we all do things that people we kind of admire. So I love Tears for Fears. It's weird. I love more British music than anything.
At that point, were you coming across like, were you just picking out standards or were you actually going into like, oh, I could do this Beatles song in this way?
No.
If
I was doing standards.
Just standards, okay.
Because I thought that's
what people
wanted.
So where did the other pop stuff come in? Where did that come in?
That came in later.
Later,
because
okay.
I got so bored with jazz. Not that jazz is boring. Like, I don't want to like offend anyone, but it's boring to me.
So what you're trying, what in music, this is the most scattered, I'm sorry, I'm not, we're just talking.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So that's what this is. So just... I'm trying to organize it though.
Yeah,
in my mind. So what you're trying to do musically, not to just jump up here, but but I think we can. I think what you're trying to do musically is your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to be jazz per se. Mm-hmm. Because you don't necessarily, not that there's anything wrong with me, but you don't want to be like a Cat Edmondson.
Right.
You know? And you also don't want to be like a pop singer.
Right.
Or like a straight up rock singer. You want to take all of these elements and put them as a bed underneath what you, Tamika, do.
Wow, that's very beautiful.
Yeah?
That's very succinct.
I'm your new publicist.
Awesome. How much should I pay you?
A lot. Because we're starting off with this amazing interview I'm doing with you.
Yeah. So I was doing the Lullaby of Birdland and the... And
right.
The night and day, you are the one. And it was just... Not being trained to do jazz, it's really hard for someone coming from a pop world, from a soul world.
Right.
Sometimes it's putting like a square.
And Soul play any part in it? I mean, did you go back and like listen to Isley Brothers or Earth, Wind and Fire or the Commodores or anything that?
No, it's really bizarre. I don't know many Earth, Wind and Fire songs. I know that's crazy.
That's not crazy. I mean, you grew up in a different time, a little bit after Earth, Wind and Fire was breaking ground. They were already kind of a nostalgia act probably by the time. No, seriously, they were probably already like, it's not like they put out new records, but they're always on tour and they're like on tour with Chicago and, you know, it's like a, hey, everyone come see Chicago and Earth, Wind and Fire. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of, it's that kind of thing. And it's not bad. I mean, at one point they were breaking ground and like a real, you know, viable artistic.
That's hilarious. I love your announcer
voice. I'm never
going to
get them
voice.
On my show now.
Hey, everyone. I love your voices.
Thank you.
Awesome. like I said, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to not good music, just consuming. Like, I fell into Led Zeppelin late. I know there's tons of people who knew about Led Zeppelin way, way before. Like, what am I trying to say?
I'm so old, I knew Led Zeppelin when they were actually a band. You know, well, no, when they were like a band that was performing, like...
No, you're
not. I didn't know them. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I was born in 1968, the same year they started.
Really?
Yeah.
You? No.
Yeah.
You must be some kind of vampire.
This is the other part of the show that I like. When I tell people I'm a lot older than I actually am.
Oh, my God.
I am some kind of vampire.
That's insane. Ugh. Wow.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? Shit.
So you got into Led Zeppelin late.
Yes.
But when you heard Led Zeppelin, what was it about Robert Plant that?
Just the abandon, the sexy abandon and the wailing and he just doesn't care. Just this raw sexual energy. And seeing him perform is this orgasmic.
Man, I hope you don't meet him. You're going to attack that poor guy.
Well,
I don't know if he could handle you. He's very old now.
I saw him at ACL a couple of years ago, and yeah, he doesn't look the same, but you know.
But he's still there. He's still, you know, expressing
absolutely.
Himself with
absolutely.
Wild sexual abandon.
Actually, it wasn't. It was, he was with Alison Krauss. So it was kind of restrained sexual abandon.
So, I didn't mean, that was horrible to say. I don't know what I meant by that. So you got into Led Zeppelin, and so you started like, what gave you the idea to do more modern songs that are more traditional rock and roll songs in a more soulful and jazz fashion?
I remember the exact moment.
Okay, good.
I had a show at Central Market, and I was playing Lullaby Birdland, and this lady came up to me. She was older, and she's like, "Oh, that reminded me of my time in the Roseland or whatever ballroom in New York City."
Oh wow!
And I was like, "Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you." And that's a very very sweet that I could give her that memory, but still, I didn't want to be
a nostalgia act.
Yeah, and remind someone of their days dancing in the 19 whatever.
I wouldn't want to either.
I was like, gross. I mean, in a good way. So that's when I knew I had to shift my shit. Yeah. And because I thought when I first got into it, I thought I had to be this like jazz standard person, because I didn't see anyone else doing, you know, modern stuff and putting like a jazz twist on it. I saw Kat, and then
she does that though, and there's a couple songs that she does that are
There's maybe one or
but she two. Really jazzes them out.
Right.
Yeah. And you like your thing isn't so straight up jazz.
No.
But there is like a music, like the guitar guy.
Absolutely.
And this is from the EP that you recorded, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's called, wait, don't stop me because I'm getting very excited. The Brown Sugar Express.
Toot toot. Yes, Brown Sugar Express.
Yeah.
I don't know how I came up with that.
Really? That was my asshole tone.
I mean,
that's my don't come on my show and bullshit.
okay, yeah, I know I came up with it. I'm brown sugar. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you got me.
So when did you put this band together? And wait, so you remember the moment when you did that and you realized that you could that you didn't have to be singing the lullaby of Birdland. You could be singing something else. And what was the first song that you did your trip on? That you laid your trip on?
Okay, yeah, I remember. This when I was really into Led Zeppelin, I listened to them every single day. Okay. Even when I got back from San Francisco, it was every day. And I remember hearing Summertime and Since I've Been Loving You, and I was like, you know what? That would be an awesome mashup if I mashed up Since I've Been Loving You with Summertime. And I brought the idea to my band, and
that's the band you have now.
No,
it's a different band.
I change men all the time. I can't keep a man. Well, my band now is
I thought you said man.
Men. I mean my band now is pretty solid. I've been with them for like a year.
And who's in it?
Well, my drummer, I've been with him for like 5 years.
Oh yeah, because of the teacher.
Right. So he's the oldest member.
Uh-huh.
Right now it's Wayne Salzman and Jake Langley, Chris Marsh.
I love Chris.
And Ephraim.
Ephraim, awesome.
Yeah, Ephraim's so sick.
Yeah.
My pianist moved away, so but that's the core band right now.
So there's no piano player?
No.
I can't say pianist without making some kind of penis joke.
I know, right?
Sorry. I'm a 12-year-old, 43-year-old. It's pretty freaky.
That's amazing.
No, it's not amazing.
No, it is.
I thought it was amazing, but it's not amazing.
You're youthful.
I upset people.
Well, fuck them.
And then I fuck them. That's what I do. I upset them. Then I make love to them. And then very uncomfortable love.
Well, which is it? You said make love or you said fuck them.
I know. I can't say it twice in a row because I sound offensive. There's this thing, you know, you don't want to sound offensive. Absolutely. I don't want to sound offensive.
Absolutely.
This is the part where I put stuff on my lips. did you do that mashup? You brought it into them and you said you want to do this mashup. And then they said, why don't we just do the Led Zeppelin song in a different way? Or did you actually do the mashup?
It's actually the mashup. They played the beginning of Since I've Been Loving You. And then after the intro, they go to Summertime.
Uh-huh.
And after the Summertime heads in, they solo over the Since I've Been Loving You part. And then I sing two verses of Since I've Been Loving You and then go back to Summertime. And then re-ended. That's probably my first...
What was the reaction to that from people?
People loved it.
Freaked out, huh?
Yeah, they loved it. I mean, it was...
Where did you first do it? Like at the
jazz Elephant Room?
Okay,
yeah,
so when you do that at a jazz club and you bust out into... Like, obviously, this summertime is something they're going to hear.
Right.
Probably 4 or 5 times that week, right? If you go to that club all the time. Right. I mean, it's a standard. So then all of a sudden you bust out into this... you started with the Led Zeppelin, and the crowd reacted immediately?
Absolutely. They knew immediately what was going on, and they just ate it up.
Like, so that gave you the... And you were like, oh...
Yeah.
What else can I do?
They gave me the confidence to try new things because I didn't know how people would respond if I manipulated jazz and made it more accessible. Because jazz is, to me, it's sometimes it gets really janky because I don't have the knowledge to really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. And that's exactly the way I feel about it.
Yeah. I wanted to make it accessible to me, like hit my hips instead of my head. Because most jazz hits you like... Like, oh, yeah, that dude is soloing over that whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know the lingo to make fun of it.
I don't think in the
in the traditional sense of like a John Coltrane or anything like that, like those guys were, I mean, there's plenty of hips going on in that kind of stuff as well. What you mean though is like a post, what's that called? Fusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of fucking like where it all of a sudden, like there's like, there's still a jazz thing, but then the jazz, the jazz took like a left turn and took some other road into music for houseplants, where all of a sudden you got like Kenny G and he was like jazz and really not, you know what I mean? Because he's just playing like, maybe you should be on the show all the time. You could get a seat next to me. You could like sing stuff whenever I say something. You could sing it. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Right. Okay, so you do this and then you started doing other songs. Like what Nirvana song do you do?
I do a Bad Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy, acid, elevator Nirvana. If you're on an, yeah, if you do acid and you're on an elevator, and that's the music that would play.
I've done acid and then gotten on an elevator for 45 fucking minutes. I'm not lying to you.
Really?
It was at the Hilton in Beaumont, 1990.
Beaumont. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's far.
I know.
I did a show out there.
Me too.
A little while ago. The houses there are ridiculous.
The houses?
Yeah.
All I saw was the college and that Hilton.
We did like some private show. It was just sick. The house. I mean, houses anywhere would be sick, but I was very impressed.
So let's so you go and do this EP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so where did you like? What song? It's four songs or five songs? How many songs are on it?
I believe it's four songs.
You believe? Like you put out a record and you don't know how many songs are on it?
Let's see. Four songs. Yes.
Okay.
Four.
Okay.
Four.
So I'm sorry to give you so much shit.
I love shit.
Okay. Good.
Eat it up.
So you went in and did this. So how did you choose the songs? Like, did you go in and just record the four songs? Did you record it live? Did you go in and record like 25 songs? And then you're like, oh, these are the ones that I want to put out. Or what did you do?
No, I knew exactly what I wanted to record. I knew it was going to be Mad World because that's my favorite song. And The Caravan.
Where does that song Caravan come from? What is that?
It's a Beyonce. Okay.
It's a Beyonce song?
Actually, no, it's not. My bad. I was going to like fuse it with Beyonce, but I couldn't clear the rights to Beyonce's song. She wanted like $2,500 for like a snippet of the song.
She's not stupid.
No, she's not. So I didn't have the money to do that. So I had to take that out. But I usually fuse Caravan with Beyonce's Naughty Girl. Cause it has that same like cool, sexy bass line.
Yeah.
So, Caravan, Blues in the Night, because I like wail. I like wailing. Blues
okay, I don't, yeah, that's the one song I don't have.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you only sent me three.
Oh, well, shoot.
It's okay.
I'll have to go to the car and get you the CD. Blues in the Night, da da da. Shit, what was the other one? What was the other one I sent? Yeah. Caravan.
Oh, Mad World. We've been talking about it the whole time.
Blues in the Night.
Misty.
Misty! Oh, yes.
Oh, I was like, I knew Misty.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So
it's a good version of Misty.
Yeah, yeah. I was researching different ways that other people have done the jazz standards that I normally do. Because I just wanted...
And I bet there's a lot of ways. I mean, I bet when you go out and find all the ways that people have done Misty, there's a lot of versions, right?
They're not... Not really. I mean, there are a lot of versions, but they kind of sound like same jazz.
Same one, yeah.
I saw this one stood out for me. This guy named Chuck Brown, he did this go-go version of Misty, and it was sick. It was funky, and because I'm not a jazz ballad girl, I cannot do a jazz ballad to save my life because I don't have that foundation. When I was studying the jazz singers like Ella and Billy, it sounds so effortless, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, I can do that, you know? Yeah. Sweet, sad, slow song like Angel Eyes.
Yeah, like you're like more of a dirty Wurlitzer is the main instrument in the thing than a beautiful piano,
right?
And a grand piano,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you in a very nice dress or something singing. You're more of like who I met at Antone's that night, right?
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Scary Spice kind of with whatever you had,
Pierce,
whatever that name was called,
LeBrush.
Children listen to this show.
So, yeah. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the songs that you did.
Right.
Misty.
Right.
All the versions.
Exactly. So the Chuck Brown version, I knew I had to do.
Right.
Because it's funky.
And so it's based on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Like the Tears for Fears one is based on the one from Donnie Darko, which is an acoustic version.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a sad song.
It is very sad.
I mean, did the lyrics, are they something that you are attracted to when you go to do it? Or do you hear the melody and you hear a sense of how you can do this song and just kind of see it as an overall picture? You're like, when you heard the lyrics of Mad World, you're like, I lived that.
No, it's...
I can sing that confidently with knowledge of what they're saying or whatever. Or no. Have my own interpretation of it or something.
No, it's definitely melody driven. Like, absolutely.
Cool. That's good.
I don't think I've ever experienced something that's sad and depressing.
Really? That's good.
No.
I like how you're going over the lyrics and you're like... So you put out your record on your birthday.
Yes.
September
30th,
2011.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you've done some other things. Let me go through your bio here. You opened for Smokey Robinson.
Right.
And we did that show kind of together because I played in a tent.
You did.
Somewhere else. And you played in the theater with Smokey Robinson. You've opened for David Sanborn and Joey DeFrancesco.
Mm-hmm.
Olita
mm-hmm.
Adams, who's very cool.
Right.
Take Six. I don't know. What is Take? I know that
they're,
name.
They're,
what is that?
They're
is that
singers?
A jazz singers?
Yeah. Kind of
like
sort of.
Manhattan Transfer kind of
vibe? Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Al Di Meola.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw him play. And then your sextet, which you've talked about, and then what is the prestigious Budweiser opening act contest?
So I participated in this contest last summer. It was a Budweiser opening act contest. You opened up for Jill Scott, Anthony Hamilton,
and Mint Condition.
Mint Condition.
Who are these people?
These are
jazz.
No, they're soul singers, kind of. Not neo soul. I don't want to put that word on it because I can't say neo soul, but just soul.
I'm gonna find out exactly what neo soul.
No one
is.
Really knows what it means.
Yeah, it's but just... I like the sound of it, and that like it's like I don't want to be that. I think that's cool. It's like a white guy not wanting to be like post Beatles or something. Beatlesque. Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, I want to be. I mean, I am, but I don't have a choice. But there are times when I wish I was not Beatlesque.
That's very.
I wish I could
That's
play
profound.
A song for someone that didn't make someone. I wish I could play a song for someone and they didn't look at me and go like, "Dude,
that's really."
How's it? Do you have the whole Beatle collection, or, like on vinyl and like fucking yeah?
That's really profound because people ask me all the time. They come up to me, "Can you sing some Jill Scott? Can you sing some Erykah Badu?" And I don't even think I sound like Erykah Badu. Maybe Jill Scott.
No, but you have I can see how you would get compared to like an Erykah Badu in the fact that she follows her own path, but there's roots in what she's doing, you know, and she has crazy hair.
yeah, I mean that was...
I mean, I could see that. I mean, in a general way, I don't mean like I would do that, but I could see how somebody, you know,
yeah.
who has to sort of like find the perfect pitch for you.
Right.
You know, I could see Erykah Badu being in it.
Wow.
In the pitch. Well, she's like, with Erykah Badu. You know, she's like.
Was it Juju?
I don't know what that, I don't know who Was a Juju is. But that is going to be the next pop sensation.
Was Juju?
is what Erykah Badu does neo soul, or is what she's doing, it's rooted in somewhere.
It's rooted in,
and she's.
She was definitely under that umbrella when neo soul was hot, you know, in the '90s, late '90s or early 2000s is. So she's definitely under that umbrella. Ella.
So what are you doing now? You have a couple of weekly shows. Do you have one?
Yeah.
More than what?
I have a show every Thursday at the gallery.
Uh-huh, the Continental Club Gallery here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then every other Tuesday at Z Tejas.
Yes, sir.
From 6 to 10. On those shows from 6 to 10, do you play like 3 sets, 4 sets?
Yeah, generally 3 sets. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They have great margaritas there. So.
You guys get to, do you drink and play? I mean, do you do that? I mean, you're still new in it. There might be the chance that you might, you know, maybe like it gives you the confidence to talk in between songs. It definitely gives me the confidence to talk in between songs.
It just makes me sleepy sometimes.
Oh.
It's 'cause
have you ever fallen asleep on stage?
No, as long as I have a little bit of medicine in me and I'm walking around and up doing stuff, it's not really a hazard. It's when I'm driving back home, it's like, fuck.
Oh.
It's just, especially like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now I'm going to worry about you every night. I am.
No.
I'm literally going to worry about you.
Don't worry, I'll be fine because I always make it home to my I have to make it home. It, sometimes I give myself these bruises and I just like put my fingernails into my skin so I can just stay awake. And sometimes I put my hand out the window if it's like 30 degrees. And that usually keeps me awake, putting your hand and making it.
That's like 2 frozen. Days out of the year here. Right. So I don't have to worry about you when it's freezing outside, but the rest of the time I'm totally worried because you're warm and in an incubated state covered in warm milk and warm honey, whatever it is that makes you trying to do. Disgusting. So what are you doing? Do you go out of town and play a lot? Do you tour?
No, I don't.
It's expensive to tour, right? And you have a pretty expensive band. Imagine getting the Ephraim Owens and the Chris Marshes of the world.
Yeah.
Isn't...
There's a certain amount that I must...
You must make.
I must pitch to them for them to listen. I mean, that's what I mean, we played Houston one time.
Where did you play? At Ovations or something?
Right.
I didn't mean that bad.
No, I mean, like, I could not get into that place.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it a race thing? I mean, I had a girlfriend that was an opera singer years and years and years ago. And she did her some kind of thing there. But that's what I felt.
Really?
I felt like it was the whitest place I'd ever been. I never went back there again. I was scared of it. I was. It just seemed like, oh, it's in the middle of like the rice village. And everyone's like, oh, this is so nice. This opera and shit.
Oh, God. Gross.
I know.
I can't stand places like that. No, it was like this new club called The Capitol at Saint Germain. It's a really, really, really nice club that just opened up. But I just have been really lazy about getting outside of Austin and San Antonio, like Dallas and Houston. But I need to up my game because stuff is drying up.
I mean, did you get good reviews for this record or anything? I'm sorry, I didn't look them up online or anything.
I haven't really gotten it reviewed. I've been kind of lazy.
I'll review it.
Really?
It's really?
Really
good. There's my review. It is. It's really good. Except for I don't know what the fourth song is. The first three songs are great.
I'm sorry. I'll have to get it to you.
I mean, do you, are there any plans? What are you doing? Do you have a manager?
I don't.
You book yourself and you're responsible for all this shit and it's kind of a little bit kind of overwhelming. Huh?
It is overwhelming to wear so many hats, to be the artist and then the booker and the...
How much do you rehearse? Do you guys rehearse?
Or no.
Okay, because that's the jazz people are so good. They don't need to. No, I come from a world where you just sit there and like fucking go over something over and over and over and over again until you go blue in the face.
No. I mean, once you put like sheet music in front of their face, they kind of just do their own thing.
Yeah.
For better or worse. But
you trust them, and what they're doing is what you want behind you. For do you approach it the same way? Do you guys sometimes do a song you guys have never done, but you're like, hey, I want to do this... Led Zeppelin song or something. You get them the music? Is that what you have to do? Or you just send them the thing and they get the music themselves?
Yeah, I just send them a track and they...
They do it themselves.
Yeah, because
okay.
I don't know. And I wish I knew how to write charts and whatnot, and musical theory knowledge, but I just don't. Because it would make their lives like way easier.
Yeah. So what time do you play on Thursdays?
Thursdays?
10:30?
Yes, 10:30 to 1:30.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be in Houston this Thursday, but I'll come next Thursday.
Oh, really?
I'll come see you. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And what about Tuesday? Is tomorrow?
Yes.
Is
Zeta
House not night? Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I'll go there.
Ooh, that'd be awesome. You could meet my
mans. I'm making a lot of plans. I can meet your fans?
My mans.
Oh, your mans.
My mans that I keep.
Oh. Do you have a lot of dudes? What kind of audience do you have? Do you have a lot of dudes coming up to you?
A lot of older men.
That's like me. That's not cool to say. You know what they're called? You know how women are cougars? Those are manthers. Charlie Sexton told me that.
Manthers. Yeah. I never heard that before.
I never heard it either until he said, you're a manther.
A manther?
A manther.
That's hot.
Yeah, it is hot, right?
Is that the manther call? Thundercats.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of... I don't know. It's funny because I've been single for so long. It's hard for women to like get some. It's hard for female singers to get some ass.
It is.
I mean,
it is because you don't really want the ass that comes to you. You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes you do.
Really?
But I mean,
I've heard. I mean, I know some girl singers, and I've had this conversation with them, and
really?
They've just been like this. Ew. I mean, sometimes there is a pretty girl that comes up to you and wants to get it on, but it's not like the fucking hottest dude in the room's like, hi, can I? And it's like, you know, guy coming up, it's like, you know what I mean? Trying to get like laid after a show.
isn't as cool as a girl coming up to a dude after,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, totally.
It's just kind of gross. But I mean, a lot of the girls are gross too. I mean, to be honest, they are when they do that.
Right.
But I get embarrassed for them sometimes.
Really?
I do. I do. I mean, I have a girlfriend and stuff. And so like, you know, they're going to get shot down. But then you're like, wow, you really went all out. Like, you didn't even fucking like, hi, my name is Brenda. What do you do? Or do you have a girlfriend or something before you? Like, just all out like, hey, I will sleep with you tonight. You know, in some way they say it and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or their friend says it for them.
Damn.
Like, will you do it with my friend?
Are you serious?
Like, oh. And so like, you're just kind of like, really? Does your friend... You know, like, wow. What do you say? Like, yeah, like, really? That's out. Like, once I say no, it's not like you're going to be like, ah, let's all laugh it off and do a shot at the bar. You know what I mean? It's like,
awkward.
It's like you got to walk away in a very weird, with a weird feeling. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe you just go over to the guy standing next to me. Maybe the other guy. Well, he won't do it. Let's ask Darren. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
And every girl I ever meet talks like a morning DJ. Well, hey, Johnny. Let's get wacky.
I guess I don't necessarily want immediate sexual gratification. It'd just be nice to ask me on a date.
Yeah. Or no one asks you out on a date?
No, I don't even have that prospect.
You're really pretty, too.
Oh, thank you.
Like, you're talented. But, dude, I mean, guys sometimes are intimidated by girls that are talented.
Especially if I'm in my diva mode. I'm not in my track star mom mode. But I'm in my diva mode, it's like, what? I guess it might be intimidating.
So you actually have a split personality that these men have to deal with. And you're wondering why you can't get it on with anyone. People are fucking scared, that's why. They don't know who they're going to get.
I mean, just because my exterior is diva, my interior is all Tamika and sweet love. And
well, I like you, Tamika. I'm glad that we met.
I'm glad that we met, too. I'm glad you had me on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad you came over. Is there anything that I missed? Is there anything coming up that you want to say, you know?
No, I don't know.
Is anyone you want to say hi to? Todd Wolfson sent me a picture of you so I could put it on my thing.
Oh, Toddy. Hi, Toddy.
Hi, Todd. And you know my girlfriend, Jessie?
Yes, I do. My sweet, sweet Jessie.
She is sweet.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Hopefully she'll be home sometime soon.
Yes. I did hang out with her more.
Yeah,
me too. I didn't hang out with her at all in 2011.
Really?
I mean, maybe once or twice, but I don't ever come to town very much unless I'm working.
Right.
And it sucks because I guess I'm getting older.
Well, I'm going to come see you work.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tomorrow night, maybe I should go have a nice dinner before I treat myself nice. Buy myself some flowers at HEB.
I'll bring you flowers.
Thank you.
I'll go buy geese and $12.99 roses.
No, I have to go. For sure. All right. Well, thank you, Tamika, for coming by.
Thank you so much.
And everyone go see her play. Buy your EP is available online, on iTunes and stuff.
No.
No?
It's available at shows, maybe.
What's your...
I'm so lazy.
You're a disaster.
I know. Yeah. I need a
publicist. And I like how you complained about the pot guy. The San Francisco. And first of all, then you go to San Francisco like, this guy's not going to be smoking pot.
Tamika Jones, thank you for being on my show.
Thank you.
I don't even know if that went well. All right. That was Tamika Jones. She was my guest today. I'm glad she came by and had a good time talking to her. Thank you for listening to the show. As always, I'm Johnny, your host. Look forward to more. Look forward to talking to you soon. Tell your friends about our podcast. Let's get it out there. Have a good day. Here's some more Tamika Jones. Ciao.
Up a tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get messy holding your hand. Walk my way, and a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello. I hear, I get messy the moment you're your name. Can't you see that you're a lady?